Good afternoon, and may it please the court. I'm Sandra Dawson, and I represent the appellant, Cynthia Cheney. This is a disability insurance bad faith case involving a claim for disability benefits under an own occupation policy that offered a legal specialty definition of disability in regular job. The issue before this court is the definition of regular job, how it's defined under the policy and under Arizona law. And the central question of the court's analysis, I think, is if Ms. Cheney's job duties as a trial lawyer changed due to her medical condition, is she entitled to benefits under her policy?
Well, help me understand, Mr. Dawson, because it seems like there was some confusion or some inability to agree on what her principal job position was. You just called a trial lawyer. I think the district court ended up saying she was a part-time general litigator. And then looks like maybe the defendants, the life insurance company, was trying to categorize her in a different way. So what do we do? I mean, these insurance policies seem to be rather interesting because they're, I guess, intended for people who specialize in certain professions. So help me understand what is her principal job determination, what do we look at? It makes it seem, from what I understand from the insurance company, that we simply look at what she was doing the day before she declared that she became totally disabled. And I'll ask the insurance company this, but from reading their briefs, that's what it looks like that they want us simply to focus on. But can you help me?
Yeah, absolutely, Your Honor. And that hits the nail on the head. There was a lot of confusion that went into the court's ultimate decision here regarding Ms. Cheney's regular job. So if you were to look at the insurance company's motion for summary judgment as opposed to the reply brief, you would see in there that they acknowledge that Ms. Cheney that U.S. Life, the defendant, acknowledged that Ms. Cheney she filed a claim for disability from her occupation as a medical malpractice trial lawyer, and that she consistently claimed that was her, that trial lawyer was her regular job and medical malpractice was her legal specialty. And that is correct. That is what this claim was for. That is what the claims handling discussions between the insurance company and Ms. Cheney and her former counsel were discussing. The issue of whether she was disabled from being a part-time litigator or mediator, that was never an issue. She never claimed disability from that occupation. That's what she attempted to do.
What do we do? I mean, I think there's an attempt to argue that was harmless error, that the district court found that she was a part-time general litigator. What do we do if the district court, was wrong? Is that harmless error?
Absolutely not, Your Honor. It was the single determinative factor in the court's decision. The court held that based on the policy's definition of this regular job being the job you were doing the day before disability began, and based on this confusion about her date of disability, her regular job was a mediator and part-time litigator, which she was doing before her date of disability and after her date of disability, and therefore she's not disabled.
But let's talk about her date, because it seems like there's issues on both tracks. One on what her job responsibilities or her duties are, and then also on the date of her disability. And she chose, and apparently she was adamant that it was January 1st, 2007. Should that have been the date that the insurance company, you know, relied on, since she said it was, or should they have looked at something else? Because I know that there's some discussion about the October 2005 being her last trial.
Right.
Why didn't she select that date?
Well, so she did, Your Honor. She absolutely did. In this was an ongoing between the insurance.
I'm having trouble hearing you, Mr. Dawson. Can you get closer to your microphone?
Yeah, I apologize. This was an ongoing conversation between the insurance company and Ms. Cheney's attorney regarding her date of disability. In the record, there are numerous letters from Ms. Cheney's attorney to the insurance company providing a lengthy history of Ms. Cheney's decline, or the decline in her health. With Ms. Cheney's original claim submission, she explained that 2004, I started suffering significant, noticing significant symptoms from her various diagnoses. 2005, I tried my last case. I tried to go part-time. And then after that date, she was winding down her business and unloading, transferring clients. So this was... The date of disability changed several times, and Mr. Gurman, who is Ms. Cheney's former attorney, he pointed out repeatedly that when someone suffers from a deteriorating condition, a gradual progression, pinpointing a date certain of disability is it's impossible. So what they did was they tied the date of disability to her last trial, which was in 2005. And there was, that was incorrectly reported as 2006, but as, defendant acknowledges, they learned that it was actually in 2005 during the claim. It was never an issue. It wasn't a basis for the denial. First of all, there's nothing in any of the denial letters that suggests based on her date of disability, she was a mediator and not a trial lawyer. That just wasn't part of the claim family, wasn't a basis for denial. And the reason for this confusion is because this argument was raised in the reply for the first time, it drastically changes the landscape of this case. I mean, had this been a basis for denial, not only would it not be a reasonable basis for denial, it would support bad faith separately. To seize on to a date that the insurance company knows was selected as something that was provided in an ongoing conversation for purposes of determining her the start date of calculating her benefits, not her regular job, and seizing on that as an excuse to deny the claim by redefining her regular job, that'd be bad faith. The insurance company has a duty to actively investigate. And this court has said in Amadeo that a person's occupation, it isn't whatever they're doing the day before they become disabled. And that, in that case, the claimant became disabled during a period of unemployment. Her regular job, which was, she filed her claim 2 years after she became disabled from her regular job. And because she became disabled during a period of unemployment, and the policy defined regular job as whatever you were doing the day before you became disabled, her occupation was an unemployed person. Court said, no, that's not how we define occupation. Not only is that not reasonable, but that supported bad faith in that case. So I see that I have 5 minutes left. I'd like to reserve rebuttal unless there are any other questions.
All right, counsel. We'll hear from United States Life Insurance Company. Mr. Matura.
Good afternoon. Yes, good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Jeff Matura on behalf of U.S. Life. I want to focus on the facts that Ms. Cheney admitted in the record and during the summary judgment briefing, because it's those admitted facts that I believe the district court relied upon to reach the summary judgment decision, because there is a lot of confusion about date of disability, last trial. These are all litigated issues, but here's what Ms. Cheney admitted during the summary judgment briefing. Number one, she admits that her stated date of disability is January 1, 2007. Unlike the Amadeo case where the carrier set the date of disability, here U.S. Life went on the date of disability that Ms. Cheney provided, January 1, 2007. She also admits that her last trial was October 2005. Again, it is correct. There was some confusion. She first said 2006, 2007. We finally realized, and she admits in the summary judgment briefing, it was October 2005. We also have in the record her job duties, as admitted by her. Her job duties from 2005 through the first section is from 2005 to January 1, 2007. So what were her duties up to the date of disability? And she tells us, and she admits, it's what the district court described as a part-time litigator and mediator. She had transitioned over those, it's about a year and a half or so, from October 2005 to January 2007, she transitioned from being a trial lawyer to doing part-time litigation and mediation. Then the final piece of this analysis is you then look, okay, what were her substantial material duties after the date of disability? And again, Ms. Cheney admits, she was a part-time litigator and a mediator. So when you take these admitted facts and you compare them to the definition of regular job, the district court, I believe, correctly compared her substantial material duties between October 2005 and January 2007, and then her substantial material duties post-2007, and concluded that her substantial material job duties did not change.
And how? What's the? When you say you compare the duties, do you compare the day before January 1, 2007 and the day afterwards? How far back do you go and how far forward do you go?
Yeah, that's a good question, Judge Murguia. And I wish I had better clarity for you in the policy language, but we don't have much. The policy language says you look at that which Ms. Cheney was performing on the day before disability began. We did not take the position in this case and in the summary judgment briefing that you look at December 31, 2006. The fact that she wasn't in trial on New Year's Eve didn't somehow form what her.
No, but you did take the position that it was December of 2006, sometime in December of 2006.
That's correct, Judge.
And I mean, is there any basis to go back, you know, a year or?
Yeah, Judge Nelson, it's not defined how far back you look, but what happened in this case is we asked Ms. Cheney to help us figure out the answer to that question. And she described for more than a year, she had transitioned out of being a trial lawyer. Her last trial in October 2005, she said something to the effect of, I'm done, no more trials. It's not an exact quote. That's essentially what she said. And then she transitioned a traditional trial lawyer practice to part-time litigation, helping her partners with depositions, covering a few witness preps, and mediation. She tried mediation for a while. She defined that for us. We didn't pick that out of her duties and say, that's what you were doing. She defined it for us.
Wouldn't it's a bit, I mean, let's say it was October of 2005. I mean, did you look at that? Did you look at October 2005 and the trial work? She had just finished a trial, apparently, the next day, and subsequently, she didn't have another trial. So, I mean, isn't it part of the implied faith of fair dealing for the insurance company to do that kind of examination? I mean, if not, you know, also does that spill over to bad faith if you didn't? I'm not saying that. It seems like it would be reasonable since you're the insurance company. She's the one been paying premiums. You're the one who defines ultimately whether she's disabled or not. Don't you have a responsibility to look at that? And how can we say that as a matter of law, that there's no question of material facts surrounding that when we have to look at everything in the light most favorable to her?
Sure. And Judge Murguia, we did investigate these issues, and it's in the record. It's in the briefing, starting on page 23 of our responsive brief. We talk about how we asked Ms. Cheney for her billing records going back to October 2005. We asked her for, and forgive me, I forget the technical name of the document, but essentially list all of your trials that have occurred so we get a better understanding. We talked to her law partner. He submitted an affidavit. We asked for her billable hours. We asked her what kind of tasks she was doing, and we could actually look month by month, this many hours in this month, these tasks, and we charted it over time. So we did. We asked, please provide us information to help us understand what your regular job was based upon the date of disability that that she provided.
But what about this change in theory that you all had that you put in the reply brief?
Yeah, I think that's fair, Your Honor, but here's how I look at it. As you can probably tell, and I think someone mentioned this earlier, a lot of these were moving pieces. And we use the phrase trial lawyer in the opening brief. And then when we get Ms. Cheney's response and her admissions to our statement of facts, it's now crystallized for us what the real issue here is before the district court. The facts in the record didn't change. The facts in the record never changed from the motion to the response to the reply. It's the argument from those facts in the record that more crystallized or focused when we got to the reply. The district court still had the same facts before him in the record.
But the district court, apparently you agree, I thought you, it was an dispute, did a part-time general litigator, and you don't agree that that was the her job duty, I guess, which is what you have to look at.
No, we do agree that based upon her admissions, and the admissions include not only her duties, but her date of disability, we do agree with the district court's conclusion and description of her job duties both before and after that date of disability.
That she was a general part-time litigator and not a trial lawyer.
Correct, that she had transitioned over that year and a half from a trial lawyer to a part-time litigator slash mediator.
So then that's what I guess I'm trying to figure out. Because the policy puts a lot of emphasis on what her job duty is that right? Her job duty. And so I'm just trying to figure out. Let's say she was, if we're looking at the October 2005, and she's the trial lawyer. I'm trying to figure out how is that the same as the general part-time litigator?
Sure.
She's working, on trials. And I guess maybe a little aspect of this also deals with the quality and quantity of her work. I'm just having a hard time trying to appreciate how that doesn't matter when you're looking at what we have to look at here and having to decide this as a matter of law.
Sure. I'd be happy to address that, Your Honor. And this is an interesting case for all of us. We're all lawyers. We all understand how a practice can change. And you might not have a trial for a year, but still be a quote-unquote trial lawyer. Or you might be a mediator and do one mediation a month. So I understand that there are many facts at play here that might form this issue. What we did is she called herself initially a trial lawyer. We then asked her for information about her trials. And it was a little bit confusing at first. She gave us the wrong date. We had to follow up with an interview, but eventually we settled on October 2005 as her last trial. We then asked her for, like I said, billing records, hours worked, tasks completed, et cetera, from that date up through the date of disability that she claimed. Now, she had claimed a date of disability of October 2005. Maybe we have a different story here, but she claimed January 2007.
No, but so that's an interesting point, though. So why don't you have an obligation as the insurance company? I know you didn't pick the date for her, which distinguishes this case from the other one that you decided. But why don't you have an obligation based on being the insurance company to help her understand and decide what the date was? Why didn't you, as the representing the insurance company, say, hey, that the better date here is probably October 2005. And then let's go from there.
Yeah, I think that's a fair question, Judge Murguia, and here's the response. number one, let's not forget that Ms. Cheney is represented by counsel. Insurance company is actually speaking to counsel for Ms. Cheney. And he's providing information about when her day of disability is. Now, you might suggest, well, insurance company, you should somehow independently look into this issue as well. And I would suggest to you, Judge, that they did. That's why they're asking for, give us a list of all of your trials. Tell us the dates. Tell us the length. Give us a list of all of your job duties. How many hours did you work every month for these X number of years? They're trying to learn what her job
was. But you just said, Mr. Matura, yourself, that if we've been looking at October of 2005 in the trial, this might be different. And I'm curious, why not look at that in the first place in light of what your obligations are under the good faith and fair dealing, especially if we're looking at this as a matter of law? Is there not any... seems like there's all kinds of questions of material fact that surface. And I'm not quite sure, in light of all the different disputes, I just want you to assure me why we can say that this affirmed the summary judgment law here.
Sure, Your Honor. The reason is because ultimately the insurance company has to go with what the insured wants to do, how they want to proceed. Ms. Cheney and her lawyer were adamant that it was January 1, 2007. We investigated 2005. We focused on 2006 for a while. They settled and they chose January 1, 2007, not only during the claim process, but during the lawsuit. So ultimately, the insurance company is looking at everything, right? Taking all the information in. We got information about 2005, got information about 2006, and they settle on 2007. And we have to give them, they have to have some responsibility here. They chose the date of disability.
No, I understand that, but it'd be one thing if they didn't mention at all the October 2005 date that she was her last trial. And there was a lot of discussion about whether or not, you know, and she said she was a trial attorney. I just trying to figure out what's the precedent here on why it's so clear that you would have gone with that date. And I understand she was adamant about it, but I just, someone, even if they're represented, could be clearly wrong about the date.
Yeah.
It's quietly, or just, you know, it's like, oh, we're investigating this. It looks like this is the other date. Does that violate him? And she did file that in her complaint, the implied covenant of good faith and fair deal.
But Your Honor, I might draw a little bit of a distinction for you. Maybe this helps. Maybe it doesn't. But if the argument before the district court was insurance company arguing that her date of disability is January 1, 2007. And Ms. Cheney arguing, no, it's October 2005. And the district court had ruled in our favor and made somewhat of a credibility determination or based upon the facts, whatever the basis would have been. If it was one of those competing interest type situations, I think that fits where your mind is going. Where I think this case is very different is what I've said already here a few times. I'm sorry for repeating myself, but ultimately before this district court were admissions by Ms. Cheney. And so we don't have a disputed issue of material fact about her disability date. She admits it. We don't have a disputed issue of material fact about her duties before and after that date. She admits it. I think that's where this case is a little bit different than what you were perhaps thinking.
And so are these policies, I mean, with respect to degenerative diseases, how often, and, you know, it seems like they're not very kind to degenerative diseases. What would have been the scenario for her to recover here?
You know, Your Honor, there's a residual disability benefit provision in this policy. There were other options for her. At the end of the day, she chose to apply for total disability benefits under her policy with the advice of her counsel. She chose what coverage in that policy to apply for. The insurance companies are not in the business, and it's just not reality, frankly, to be saying, okay, you want to apply for coverage A, but we would rather you apply for coverage B, C, D, or E under your policy. At some point in time, there has to be some responsibility on the insured to say, this is my coverage. You know, this is what I'm applying for.
A partial disability she would have possibly been a candidate for.
Yeah, and Your Honor, in all candidness, I haven't analyzed that issue to its end, but there's the point I want, I guess maybe the takeaway from this is there are different coverage provisions within her policy, and she chose to apply for total disability. And unless there's any other questions, I will give you back 35 seconds of your day.
We appreciate it. Thank you, counsel. Rebuttal?
Yes, thank you. So a few points that I'd like to follow up on. First of all, the comment that insurance companies aren't in the business of helping insureds decide how or what benefits to pursue under their policy, that position is contrary to Arizona law. Under Nardelli, the insurance company has an obligation to help the insured understand benefits to which he is entitled under the policy. Here, that would mean, had the date of disability been an issue with respect to defining her regular job, to not explain that to her, to Ms. Cheney, would be withholding information about policy, about benefits she's entitled to under the policy. And
but she was represented. She's a lawyer and she was represented.
She's a lawyer and she was represented, yes, but the defendant cites no authority for the proposition that the fact that she was a lawyer or that she was represented somehow changes their duty of good faith. It doesn't. There is no authority to support that.
But how would the duty of good faith be violated if she set the date of disability?
So, Your Honor, she did not set her date of disability as January 1st, 2007 in the way that it started being used for the first time in the reply brief. In the record, the letter in which Mr. Gurman, Ms. Cheney's former attorney, offered that date as a quote, date of disability, he explains in there, first of all, it's in the context of, again, explaining her decline in health from 2004 onward. And he offers 2014 with the explicit understanding that this is for determining, there's no question about her disability from being a trial lawyer, but this is for determining her benefits.
2014?
That's the date of the letter, yes. And so he offered this date really as a compromise. It was, they're going back and forth about the specific date of disability, which from the initial claim application to multiple letters from her attorney explaining the history thereafter, that her date of disability was tied to her last trial. And they knew that last trial was in 2005.
But counsel, even if it were a compromise, why wasn't the insurer entitled to rely on that date once it was selected by the attorney and by the claimant?
Well, a couple of reasons, Your Honor. Number one, date of disability, it's not a defined term in the policy. It has no contractual significance, the term alone. The insurance company never suggested that the date would be used to define her regular job. And it knew that the disability, the occupation she was claiming disability from was full-time trial work. Now,
but it's important because we have to look at the day before that date to determine what her job was at that point.
Right. So again, in the letter, the way that that date was offered, was used, was as a start date to calculate her benefits. The policy defines regular job as the day before disability began, not the day before the date of disability chosen by the insured. That's not in there. And in fact, there are several places in the record, both in deposition testimony from the claims adjuster to the insurance company's own guidelines and training materials, that explicitly says the date of disability, it can be a moving target with these types of conditions. And if you find information suggesting that the date offered by an attending physician or by the insured is incorrect, you might need to backdate that date of disability. Which just goes to show this really, it's a non-issue. I mean, the question has always been, was she disabled from her job as a full-time trial attorney? And the argument had been that, no, she's not disabled because she can do most of the things she used to do, and she rarely went to trial. So it's no big deal that she switched to part-time work because she can still do an occasional deposition and such. It had never been her regular job as defined under the policy was not that of a trial lawyer, but a mediator or something other than a full-time trial lawyer. That just wasn't an issue. It was raised in the reply for the first time. The last thing I would like to mention about this admission in summary judgment briefing, there was one statement of fact that the court, that the defendant seized on and the court adopted as really the foundation for its opinion, where the defendant alleged that stated that Ms. Cheney is not claiming an earlier date of disability in this lawsuit, undisputed. But under the section with the subheading Ms. Cheney's regular job, there were various statements of fact that plaintiff contested and went into great detail explaining that her disability began in 2004, was tied to her last trial in 2005. There are several other statements of fact that are far more substantive and detailed than that one statement of fact pulled out of context.
All right. Thank you, counsel. Thank you to both counsel. The case just argued is submitted for decision by the court. That completes our calendar for today. We are in recess until 9:30 a.m. tomorrow, Alaska Daylight Time.